Another busy one today. I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Jimmy Kimmel said the Congressional Committee investigating the Capitol riot issued subpoenas for 10 of Donald Corleone's associates, Colbert. The big headline is that the January 6th committee has issued 6 subpoenas to the ex-president's top campaign associates, a collection of powerful dum-dums who helped orchestrate the last-ditch efforts to steal the election. A high-stakes, low-IQ heist on democracy, starring pardoned criminal Michael Flynn, a.k.a. General Grumpy Pants, pardoned criminal Bernie Kerik, the Scalp, disgraced lawyer John Eastman, the Accessorizer, campaign manager Bill Stepien, Blind Master Flash, executive assistant Angela McCollum, the Spare Tiffany, and senior campaign advisor Jason Miller as the Honey Trap, Colbert again. In the days leading up to January 6th, these Trader Joes, that's great, were plotting how to throw out election results, huddled together in a set of rooms and suites in the posh Willard Hotel in downtown D.C. Their barroom tab must have been huge. It's like $20 a pop for those mini Molotov cocktails. James Corden said, now just to be clear, a subpoena does not mean you've done anything wrong, although in this case, it absolutely means you did something wrong. Corden adds, we're so close to figuring out who's responsible for this. What a mystery. But bad news for James Corden. Fans are petitioning producers behind the movie adaptation of Wicked not to cast James Corden. This from The Hollywood Reporter. The petition is posted on change.org and is addressed directly to Universal. It's racked up over 21,000 signatures. The petition simply states, James Corden in no way, shape, or form should be in or near the production of Wicked the movie. That's pretty much it. People seem to be annoyed at Corden for his performance in Cats, Ryan Murphy's The Prom, Rob Marshall's Into the Woods, and Amazon's recently released Cinderella. Corden's work for Cinderella annoyed people. Remember, he dressed up as a rat and disrupted LA traffic? Yeah, nobody wants part of that. So, James Corden, no Wicked for you. Hey, we never talk about Dave Chappelle on this podcast. I don't think I've mentioned him in about a year. From the Des Moines Register, Dave Chappelle's Des Moines screening of his new documentary was not as star-studded as the first two shows on the tour. Chappelle said, a lot of people wondering why I'm coming to Des Moines. I'll tell you the truth. It's because you pick presidents and you do a terrible job. Despite what he said, he couldn't let the topic of the month go by. Chappelle said, boy, I went too far with the closer. The trans always get mad, but this time I did it. He went on to express a feeling of whiplash between being on Twitter and meeting individuals in person, saying that few, if any, of the LGBTQ people he's spoken with face-to-face have expressed the outrage he experienced on social media. He advised the audience, be kind to everyone. When you see one of those rare transgender unicorns, buy them a coffee and tell them Dave Chappelle sent you. That's a repeat line, I guess, that he's using on his shows. He also told the crowd, I've never been here and not had fun, but no matter what your governor says, coronavirus is real. Corey Woodbury of Iowa City was in the crowd. Corey Woodbury of Iowa City said, it was amazing. I love the documentary. It's much needed for the world. We need a good laugh for sure. From TMZ, they were at LAX doing their TMZ thing, and they happened to run into Donnell Rawlings. Who knew? So while Donnell Rawlings was catching a plane or leaving a plane or whatever one does at LAX, TMZ was like, hey, Dave Chappelle topic. What do you think? According to TMZ, Donnell Rawlings believes folks are misconstruing all this backing because, as he put it, most celebrities speaking out on behalf of Dave Chappelle are not necessarily co-signing on his point of view, but rather sticking up for freedom of speech and artists' rights. From the Wall Street Journal, your home for comedy news, Viacom chief executive Bob Bakish said the uproar over some content is inevitable for major media companies. He was loosely referring to the Chappelle special, saying, if you're going to be in the mass market business, you're going to inevitably run into some of these issues, and you have to manage them with finesse. Ultimately, yeah, there may be some stuff you have to pull as you look at it, but it's not unusual to be there. Did you see the new trailer for Being the Ricardos? I have posted it on the Facebook group, which is Facebook Groups Daily Comedy News Podcast Groups. I didn't phrase that well. You know what to do. You have Facebook Daily Comedy News Podcast Group. I put the trailer there. Would love to know your thoughts on it. You know, there's comments on Facebook now. You could actually, if I posted something, you could comment, you know? Know what I'm saying? Nudge, nudge, say no more. Vulture recaps it. Nicole Kidman, as Lucille Ball said, I am the biggest asset in the portfolio of the Columbia Broadcasting System. Aaron Sorkin's vision of 1950s Hollywood looks snappy and full of life. Lucy says, all I have to do is kill for 36 weeks in a row and then do it again next year. In the trailer, there are communism rumors swirling around Ball and Javier Bardem as Desi. He's rattled. Being the Ricardos premieres in theaters December 10th and on Amazon Prime Video December 21st. I don't leave the house. I'll be watching this December 21st. It looks really good. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by the new podcast, Submerged, with Dan Bublitz Jr. Dan says his show is a weekly interview-style podcast about obsessions, and I can confirm that. Just this morning, I was catching up on the episodes. Season 1, Episode 2 of Submerged with Dan Bublitz Jr. Dan was joined by comedian and writer Lisa Curry. Her credits include Comedy Knockout and The Jim Jefferies Show. Lisa Curry submerged Dan Bublitz Jr. in the world of boats. She shared her love and knowledge for boats, along with her experiences growing up on a lake in Indiana at her family's marina. I don't have a marina. She also talks about her comedy album, Alive for a While, and being considered for a Grammy. And I think she should win the Grammy because it's a proper comedy album and not a Netflix special disguised as a comedy album with a limited release vinyl in two stores and Dave Chappelle holding up a picture. And I'm on a side rant. Let's get back to Dan Bublitz Jr.'s Submerged podcast promo. In season 1, episode 3 of Submerged with Dan Bublitz Jr., Dan is joined by comedian and writer Lee Bruns from Minnesota Motorcycle Monthly. Say that three times fast. I got through it on the first try. He submerges Dan in the world of motorcycles. And if there's one thing I know about the motorcycle people, they can't get enough of motorcycles. So good job, Dan Bublitz Jr. Submerge with Dan Bublitz Jr. wherever you get your podcast. New episodes every Wednesday available on Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and all the other podcast platforms. The New York Comedy Festival continues, and I've brought this up in the past. I think New York City is too big for a comedy festival. I only have good things to say about the people who organize the festival and the people that perform in the festival. I've told you about it every day, and I'll tell you about who's playing tonight. Everything about it is fantastic, but I think in New York, it gets swallowed by the New York of it all. It's just too big of a place. And what I'm noticing this week as I write the podcast every morning is I'm not seeing any recaps of the shows, whereas, you know, I'll tell you about something like the Flyover Comedy Festival in a couple minutes, and in a smaller city, the comedy festivals seem bigger, but you can even Google Stand Up for Heroes. You would think a concert with Jon Stewart and Bruce Springsteen, you think somebody would have recapped it and said what happened? Nothing. So the New York Comedy Festival, it's awesome, and yet it's invisible. Tonight, Tim Dillon, you've heard me talk about Tim, and he is on the Comedy Power Rankings, which I'll share with you this weekend. Tim Dillon, very funny, was listening to his podcast this morning. He's at the Beacon Theater at 7 o'clock. Colin Quinn again, 7 o'clock. Michelle Wolf at Town Hall at 7. So pretty good night, and you got to decide between those three. I would personally go see Tim Dillon's show. 7:30, Ladies Who Ranch present Sketch. That's at Asylum. And I noticed in Time Out, where I got the listing of who's playing where, they list tonight at Caroline's Norm Macdonald. My guess is that that show's not going to happen. However, if Norm Macdonald does perform stand-up comedy at Caroline's tonight, we are talking some Andy Kaufman-level stuff. I hope Norm shows up. I'm sure you do too. But I wouldn't base my night around that show. So Norm Macdonald at Caroline's tonight, maybe. Also tonight, the Flyover Comedy Festival starts in St. Louis at the Grove, November 11th through the 13th. The comedy festival will be spread out at the Hot Java Bar, the Improv Shop, Urban Chestnut Brewery, the Dogwood, and Handlebar. Performers include Doug Benson and Friends, Rachel Feinstein, Mike E. Winfield, Julia Rossi, Kiri Shabazz, Scissor Brothers, Jeremiah Watkins, and some others. More than 100 performers will take the stage. Three-day all-access passes are $55. That's pretty good if you want to festival hop. Single shows, $12 to $24.50. It's the Flyover Comedy Festival. Also today in Santa Monica, it's the Crazy Woke Asians Kung Pao Festival, spread out over 4 days. This festival features over 50 Asian American comedians from LA, Chicago, New York, Florida, a bunch of other places, 30 shows. The festival also includes the Shane Wang Crazy Woke Asians Youth Stand-Up Comedy Camp, which offers 15 students 15 years old and up an opportunity to learn the craft of stand-up comedy and showcase on stage at the end of the camp. Pretty cool. Executive producer Kiki Yang said the show is played to sold-out crowds across the country in Seattle, New York, San Diego. And while the show's genesis predates COVID, the surge in anti-Asian hate crimes, and even the current political connotations of woke, The show has grown to meet its moment in history. Kiki says people want to see more Asian comedians and they don't think we all tell the same things, because the thing before COVID with the shows was the booker would think, oh, we need one Asian. We don't want three of them because they'll tell the same jokes. But in reality, there's me, Japanese, Korean, Chinese. We really don't have the same experiences. Some of the comedians happen to be Asian, but they're American born. Actor-comedian Danny Plom said, I think if we could shed more light and more laughter on these kind of topics, then they kind of take the tension away, and hopefully those people that are angry or violent for whatever reason, they can kind of take a backseat and just kind of listen to what we have to say versus this unconscious anger that we have. Tickets, $25 in advance, $30 at the door, Santa Monica Playhouse today, 4:30 to midnight, tomorrow, 7 to midnight, Saturday, noon to midnight, Sunday, 1 to 11. And that is your comedy news for today. You can follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Good Pods, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. I'll meet you back here tomorrow.